He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to today's Thursday, October 27th, Best Stocks, Best Inverse Funds. There's some of both today. This is Bill Gunderson. This is the Best Stocks, Best Inverse Funds Now show on this Thursday. I'm president of Gunderson Capital Management, a nationwide fee-based firm with clients all over the country. We are a virtual firm, which helps us be a lot more efficient in today's world. Well, we've got a mixed market today. I've got something for the inverse fund folks, which we still own several, and I've got something for the folks that still own stocks. We own many. The Dow up 306 points right now, 32,145. You've got several members of the Dow doing fairly well today. The oil stocks are doing well again. The NASDAQ, on the other hand, is taking its cue from Meta. Zuckerberg seems to be lost in the metaverse. Has anybody seen Zuckerbucks around here recently? S&P is up 6. That's about 16 basis points there. Crude oil up $1.12. It looks like President Biden's going to have to raise his buy limit. I don't think he's going to get any oil down there in the $67 range. Gold is down $8. Silver's down 4 cents. The 10-year hanging steady at 4.01 after today's big GDP report. What else is there to talk about today? A lot. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show on this Thursday, 10/27. And we do have a mixed market. We've got Zuckerbucks on one side of the equation, lost in the metaverse somewhere. We've got Elon Musk showing up with a sink yesterday at Twitter. Does that mean the stock's going to sink, or I don't know?
Yeah.
He says, let this sink in, whatever that means. He means business. And, of course, Barry, we've been waiting for this October 27th GDP report, which came in today. That's probably the reason, one of the big reasons the Dow's up, along with a couple of Dow earnings reports. We are not in a recession, obviously. We did have two negative quarters. What do you think about today's GDP report?
Yeah, interesting. I think the most interesting number is if you look at 2.7% of the total was actually from trade, a positive sign. So in terms of that number, which means all the other inputs, by the way, are negative. So
really.
So it's, you know, it's one of those, kind of, all the underlying factors are really negative short of the trade coming in at, I think, like I said, when you add them up and you look at the formula, trade accounted for 2.7% of it.
Wow.
Which means it came in at a 2.5 number, which means, you know, the rest of the components were at, you know, minus 0.2%. So
when you say trade, does that mean things we exported?
Yeah, so we actually exported some things for a
what?
Change. Put it that way. Yeah.
You know, I talked to a guy that runs a big trucking firm here at our port, and I said, "Do those containers leave? Do they go back to China full?" He says hardly any of them. In fact, we have a container storage problem here with containers stacking up empty
too
containers.
Many. Yeah, and they when the hurricane came, you want to talk about a logistics nightmare. You have to. They can only stack them. I want to say it's four high. Whenever the wind is, and if the wind's a certain level, right, then they can't do anything with them. So they had to, get them all stacked up properly, and then, and then tie them down because they can, they'll blow pull over pretty easy.
Well, now I know why that container's in my driveway. I hope they're going to come and leave it soon. I got to go to the grocery store. ECB hikes rates by 75 basis points as expected, despite recession jitters. Well, you know, on the one hand, you've got 10% inflation to deal with. And on the other hand, you've got the fear of the very real possibility of pushing the whole thing into recession with these rate hikes. So it seems like the ECB went ahead and did what they had to do, come hell or high water, and we'll see what that does to the economy. But most people think that Europe is ahead of us as far as heading into a recessionary environment. They may already be in one. And I saw one prediction out there that we'll enter a recession by the second half of next year. That was from one of the big city groups, something like that, one of those. So we'll just have to track this. You know, they will revise that GDP number a few times. I wouldn't expect much. We've had two negative quarters in a row, saved by the bell, just in time for the election. Just in time for the election coming up, 2 weeks from, no, 1 week from Tuesday. Apple will report tonight. And I will just say this about Apple. It's not doing very well today. I think the anticipation not too good. Apple's down 1.5% today. You know, maybe being influenced by Meta.
Yeah, following up those other names, yeah, you could see where expectations, you know, might be a little lower.
Yeah, Google missed, Microsoft missed. What's the odds of Apple missing?
Yeah, C was awful. You know, they it's an interesting time for the tech names. I mean, the growth is, you know, kind of gone sour, it looks like.
And I would also say this, that Meta was trading very poorly yesterday. It flashed through my mind for a minute. Bill, you should short 100 shares of Meta in your little IRA there, you know. I just had a very strong feeling that it was going to be a disastrous report, and it was. And now you got Apple. It's not trading as bad as Meta was yesterday, but Apple is down after a good GDP report. Now, we also get Amazon tonight. That is one of the top five earnings reports. Amazon is not looking very good either. It's down 1.6% today. It remains in a downtrend. It's got some support down around 105. I don't expect a good report from Amazon. I think they're getting squeezed by fuel costs, by the delivery costs. That's where their big cost is delivering everything. I don't think that the annual membership comes close to even covering for people that use Amazon heavily. I would not expect a good report from Amazon tonight. I could be wrong. You know, a lot of times it's a flip of a coin. But that coin has come up tails now, you know, four or five times in a row on Google.
Definitely this week.
On Meta. And what would make you think that all of a sudden Amazon's going to come out with this blockbuster report in the after hours tonight? And if that's not enough, well, one of the big bellwether semiconductor chip stocks, Intel, will report tonight. That's just a terrible stock. It's been a terrible stock for a long time. And of course, they spun off Mobileye, which they bought at one point in time. I don't know that they did much with it while they had it. That's the Israeli automation for cars, autonomous driving for cars software. Now they're going to spin it off. We'll see what they paid for it, you know, and what they spin it off for. But that's a terrible stock. Intel is down 0.5% today. And the environment is not so great right now for the semiconductor stocks. And then, of course, the big report today, Meta Platforms, EPS of $1.64, misses by 22 cents. That was the first shoe to drop. The second shoe to drop was a big revenue warning from Zuckerbucks. And Meta is down, 22%. I can't remember the last time a FANG stock. Well, Netflix has had some big thrashings in the past.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, they've lost $600 billion in market cap, I believe, since the beginning of the year.
That means that Mark Zuckerberg himself, he's dropping on the list along with Kanye West. Those two dropping fast in the billionaire list. And Meta Platforms, that is one of the ugliest charts in the entire market. It's been sliding into hell for the last several months, for the last couple years.
Time to change the name back to Facebook.
Yes, it's not working. Metaverse. He's lost somewhere out there. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks, Best Inverse Funds Now show. We've got the Dow up 500 right now. It has really taken off here. The S&P's up 24 right now. The NASDAQ, however, is up just 3 points at this point in time. Interest rates basically remaining steady. Oil is up again today. It's closing in on 90. It's almost at $90 a barrel. And, you know, that spat between Saudi Arabia and the U.S. has really escalated. And, of course, Biden put out a call. We're buyers of oil at $67 to $72 per barrel to refill the oil reserves. And it doesn't look like there's many takers when they can get 90, 89, almost 90. In the open market. We'll see what the coming weeks and months bring in oil prices, but it seems like the conditions in the world and in the war on fossil fuels, it seems to me that that's going to continue to prop up oil prices unless we go into a deep recession and stop using oil as much as we are today. Okay, yesterday, a key recession indicator flashed alarm bells as the three-month T-bill yield exceeds the 10-year. Okay, you mean to tell me I can buy a three-month T-bill and get about 4% or more? Then I can get on. Why would I buy a 10-year bond?
Yeah, I guess the only thing is that, you know, you got to roll that roll that 3 month note over right after 3 months. When so who knows what the rate will be then? But yeah, that's you look at 3 months, you got a 4.03 number versus the 10-year at 3.94. So that's what you call a very inverted yield curve, right?
Yes, especially when you have the short end. Well, hey, if you're out there listening to the show today and you're looking, where can I get 4%, I'd be happy. I've had people tell me we'd be happy with 4 or 5% a year. Of course, inflation is running 9 to 10% right now, but still, a guaranteed 3 to 4%, a bird in the hand. You can get that with a 3 month T bill. Where can people buy 3 month T bills? The bank?
Well, yeah, they trade. You can buy them at
Ameritrade.
Them at TD Ameritrade, but yeah, they're a lot of those short term notes. I mean, they're purchased by at least the initial issue, right? Are purchased by money markets. Other, very low short duration, bond funds, those types of things.
Yes, well, the on and off 3 month 10-year inversions, which signal investors' expectations for a grim economic downturn, comes ahead of the Federal Reserve's November 1st and 2nd monetary policy. So, yeah, we're going to have, you got Halloween on Monday. You've got the Fed meeting on Tuesday. You've got an election on, no, that's a week from Tuesday. I'm sorry. But you've got the Fed meeting next week. And all expectations are for 75 basis points. Now, if history serves as any guide, this rare inversion of the three-month 10-year usually occurs towards the end of the Fed's tightening cycle. Well, that makes sense. You know, I don't know if they've got another 75 basis point hike in them or not, but I guess tomorrow will go a long ways towards that. What are we getting tomorrow? We're getting another inflation report, right?
Yeah, the PCE index, and then of course the ECB, you know, raised just about an hour before the show announced that they're raising another 75 basis points in the Eurozone. So
what's the difference between the PCE and the CPI?
That's probably we probably have to bring in a resident economist for that.
It gets pretty complicated.
There's different different baskets of goods, right? The basket of goods changes over time, and so I want to say that the PCE index is kind of a more stable is not probably not the right word, but it's been more like a similar basket of goods versus I think the CPI has changed.
It takes out
we've changed as consumers over time.
It takes out the volatile, I think, components of the
right.
CPI. And we know that the Fed watches the one tomorrow, the PCE, more than they watch the CPI because it takes out that volatile factor. Overhang on Tesla from Twitter deal now removed. Well, okay, but there is another factor out there, and we were reading that he may have to sell a lot more of his Tesla stock, and that didn't help the stock back about a year ago when he was selling in anticipation, and he had to pay his taxes too.
Yeah, he needed to sell it. They were changing that. That tax law was gonna change at the end of last year. So he was, he's actually selling some of those shares ahead of time to beat that particular tax burden. But yeah,
well, they're saying that the $44 billion price tag for Twitter will go down as one of the most overpaid tech acquisitions in the history of M&A deals on the street. Well, we'll see. It all depends on whether or not he's able to grow Twitter from here, from what it's at. It's been a pretty stagnant growth company, especially as it relates to earnings. But, he's a pretty out-of-the-box, intelligent guy. Anybody that would carry a sink in on the day one of him announcing that I'm here, I'm the new boss. And, of course, the Twitter people aren't real happy about that work there. So, anyways, that overhang is over. That question mark is over off of Tesla. Now the question is, how much is he going to have to sell? But it does seem like Tesla continues to dominate. What can I say? They dominate the EV market. Caterpillar jumps today. All right, Caterpillar, if I'm not mistaken, is a member of the Dow. There's the biggest reason why the Dow is big time. That's up 9.3%. Now, Caterpillar, okay, that may be part of those exports going overseas, Caterpillar products around
the world. Yeah,
the
big export was actually petroleum products, which makes sense because we're sending the liquefied natural gas to Europe.
So. At higher prices.
Yeah.
So we would have negative GDP were it not for that.
For the trade component, correct.
Yes, exactly. So Caterpillar up 9%. I don't know if they mentioned anything. I thought Caterpillar would have some issues with the strong dollar, but they delivered a very good quarter. Their margins were good. They don't seem to be impacted by inflation. They had a knock it out of the park quarter. Their sales were up 21%. Get this, their earnings were up 48% year over year. And, you know, Caterpillar, construction, mostly mining, a lot of mining these days, diesel and natural gas engines, turbines, and locomotives. Choo-choo, we'll be right back. Welcome back here to the Thursday edition of the Best Stocks, Best Inverse Funds Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunnarsson and chartered financial analyst Barry Kite. We will be in Sarasota on November the 15th and 16th meeting with folks. You'll have us both there in the room at the same time with you talking about your portfolio. And you can set up an appointment with Edie at 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. The newsletter, I'm going to send out an abbreviated version of the newsletter this weekend. But lately, anybody in our database has been getting the daily swing trade list. You know, I'm just thinking, you know, if over the next 10 years, if Stiefel is right, the market goes nowhere for 10 years, the S&P 500 10 years from now is right around 4,000, you're going to have to do a little bit of swing trading. I mean, how else are you going to make money other than high dividend stocks or whatever? Normally, high dividend stocks mean they're not very good stocks that are underlying those dividends. So we're sending this out during a time of a difficult market, but we are getting a lot of volatility, which plays into this kind of a strategy for now. When I'm talking swing trading, I'm hoping for several month hold if we can. But if you get something, I bought Schlumberger recently. It was up 25% in 3 weeks in the premier growth portfolio and in the dividend and growth portfolio, and I sold it yesterday for a 25% profit. We also, watch the downside very, very closely because you've got such volatility that is coming in waves through the market. So if you'd like to get the newsletter and the daily list that you can at least be looking at, and preparing yourself for the next decade, if Stiefel is right, go to our website at GundersonCapital.com. That's GundersonCapital.com. I just think that being active is going to be even more important, more than ever going ahead than it has been in the past. Being passive will get you nowhere, unless you're going to keep rolling those three-month T-bills. That'll keep you busy. Rolling those three-month T-bills over and over for your 4% interest on those things. Probably better than an annuity, Barry, which you're lucky. I mean, an annuity, these indexed annuities, if you're lucky, and a down market like this year, you're not going to do very well. Okay, anyways, the Dow up about 500 right now, 475. It is backing off a little bit. It was up higher just a few moments ago. Now, let's look at the next stock in the news, Shell. Shell, look at that chart on Shell. Netherlands-based company engaged in exploration, production, refining of crude oil and natural gas worldwide. You know, actually, the war on fossil fuels has been quite good for the fossil fuel companies over the last year or so. That's about the only sector in the market that is working this year. Shell, of course, many Shell stations here in the U.S., but it is now a Netherlands-based company where they're limited. I think they have some kind of quota in the Netherlands on how much they can extract per year so that they can limit the carbon emissions into the atmosphere. While the people freeze in their homes and pay through the nose for their utility bills, Shell is up 5.7% today on 3x normal volume. And the CEO warns, we must embrace higher taxes because they're going to come after Shell as third quarter profits soar. But you know what? Look, how many years did they go? You go back to the COVID year, you know, where oil went negative for a while. These companies, I mean, not Shell, but a lot of the smaller drillers and whatnot, they were barely hanging on by their fingernails during that period of time. It's a cyclical business, just like the home builders, just like the mortgage lenders. It's a very cyclical business. They have ebbs, and they have good times and they have bad times. And Shell right now is in a good time, and they're just bracing themselves for the next shoe to drop after this earnings report, which will probably be some kind of big, what do they call that? A tax
windfall tax.
Yes, this will be a windfall, not on wind, but on the oil stocks themselves. The oil, you know, this Russia oil price cap, that's another one. I mean, that's like saying we're buyers of oil at 67 to 72. Putting a cap on Russian oil, that's not working out. The U.S. has been forced to scale back a plan to impose. I mean, Russia's not going to go. They're not going to sell their oil at big discount prices to countries that are helping out with defend Ukraine. So that one not going too far. That was a plan championed by U.S. Secretary, Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen. She says we won't pay any more than $40 to $60 per barrel. And I think you know what Russia is telling Janet Yellen about that idea. PBF Energy. Okay, well, this is one of the ones I'm going to feature today. This is one that we own. I'll tell you who's a really big beneficiary in all of this are the distilleries, otherwise known as the refineries. The refineries are doing very well today. Valero's doing well. PBF, they've come back a little bit. PBF Energy, which we own in our emerging growth portfolio, is hitting a new high today. You can't say that about many stocks. It's a New Jersey company that operates five oil refineries and related facilities located in New Jersey, Ohio, Delaware, and Toledo. It's up 3.6% today, and they're reinstating their dividend. The drillers also, the equipment companies, there's three of them that have reported here today. First one is Patterson Energy, PTEN. Patterson is up right now 8.5%. This is a hot sector. If I was to name the hottest sector out of the 67 that I track right now, I would say it's the oil and gas drilling / equipment / service sector. Patterson doesn't, get oil out of the ground. They provide the equipment to do that. So Patterson having a very good day, headquartered in Houston, where the World Series will begin here, I think tomorrow. I think Philadelphia is going to have a hard time. They're going to have their hands full with Houston. That's just my impression. Oceaneering is another one. OII, Oceaneering, provides deep water engineered services and products to offshore oil and gas industries. You want to see a chart today? Look at OII, Barry. Look at that. It is the mirror of Zuckerberg's Meta. Meta's down 22%. Yeah. Oceaneering is up 22.4% right now. OII. And then a third one is Murphy. Now, Murphy actually does get oil out of the ground. They're engaged in oil and natural gas exploration and production. We've been on this one. This one's on our trading list, and you got to be pretty happy with the move it's been making here recently. It's headquartered in Houston. Man, I'll tell you what, it's good days, times for Houston. Right. How are the Texans doing? I haven't been watching the Houston Texans.
Yeah, not as good.
Well, okay. You can't have them all in place at the same time. Murphy Oil, MUR, up 2.7%. It's highly rated in the Best Stocks Now app. We have owned it once this year. And it's on the trading list, as it has a phenomenal relative strength of 98 on a scale of 1 to 99. I'll just tell you one other hot sector. And, you know, I'm just saying there's a lot of recession stocks. Here's what I call recession stocks. Dollar Tree, AutoZone, O'Reilly Automotive, the pawn shops, First Cash Financial, Easy Corp. Those are recession stocks. If you can't get a loan, if you can't qualify for a loan, you go to the pawn shop. If new cars are out of your price range, you got to keep the one you have now going. Look at O'Reilly today, O-R-L-Y, and AutoZone broke out earlier this week. O'Reilly's up 3.8% or $30 per share on 3x normal volume. Another highly rated stock. We don't own it, however, in the Best Stocks Now app. We'll be right back.
You gotta go where you wanna go. Do what you wanna go.
And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks, Best Inverse Funds Now show with Bill Gunderson, Gunderson Capital Management, a nationwide virtual fee-based only firm. We run about five or six portfolios, mix and match depending on your risk tolerance, your age, all kinds of different factors there. All right, we've got both the... some inverse funds. Here's your two leading inverse funds today. This shouldn't surprise you. FANGD, F-N-G-D, which is inverse the FANG stocks. And, of course, the F in FANG was Facebook. Now it's an M. So far, that's cost him about $500 billion, his venture into the metaverse. I was just reading that. They call it a pipe dream, some of the analysts that follow the company. FANGD is up 7.3% today. It's had a pretty good week. FANGD has gone from 36 to 83. This is an inverse. It's 3x inverse the performance of the gross total return of the New York Stock Exchange FANG Index. Now, I don't know if there's anything else besides those four stocks in the FANG Index. I'd have to look that up.
You wonder if potentially, you know, they could have other names that kind of feed into, suppliers and other things.
Yes, I'd have to look that up to see what's in that FNGD. That's the New York Stock Exchange created a FANG Index. And it's done pretty well here since, let's see, it hit 36 in August, and it hit 83 just about 2 weeks ago. Now it's at 69, so it's almost doubled. It has doubled and then given up some in the last couple of months, helped by, we'll see. Amazon reports tonight. I'm pretty sure Amazon is the A in FANG. Of course, Netflix was the only one that had a good report, but this clobbering of Meta is having a big impact. And then the other one that's doing well on the inverse side today is Yang, which is China 3x. It exploded to the upside on Monday after their annual meeting of the Communist Party of China, where they got rid of anybody in that room that was not a hardcore communist authoritarian. All the reformers escorted out or not invited. The market shrunk, shriveled up, was shocked on Monday, although they kind of knew it was coming. Yang was the biggest winner on the market on Monday. I personally own a little bit. It's a really wild thing, however. Really wild. It's 3x the inverse of the FTSE China 50 index. It's up 3.7% today. It sold off heavily after Monday's big gain, but it's in a very strong uptrend right now. Now, on the long side, the sector of the day, number one would be the oil and gas equipment stocks with OII up 22.8. Patterson up 8.7 and Helmerich and Payne up 4.9. And then I'm just going to go with the Dow. The Dow Index, you've got three in there that are having a very good day. Cat, the big cat's up 9.8%. Boeing having a very good day. It's up 6%. They got that huge order yesterday from Alaska Airlines. And it's kind of in a little uptrend right now after getting whomped yesterday after their earnings report, but it's having a good day. There must be some analyst upgrades out there. I think Comcast is in the Dow. If not, it's definitely influencing the mega cap. CMCSA is up 7% today, and that's helping the Dow to a 460-point gain here. Mostly Caterpillar, Boeing, and Comcast. And then Shell up 5.5%. And then I was talking about recession stocks here recently. I remember back in 08. In fact, the app has a line of how these stocks did during the recession and the sell-off of 2008-2009. And so, for instance, let's just look at FCFS real quickly.
And while you're doing that, Bill, Boeing is up 6%. So that's another big component. Them, Caterpillar, and Honeywell are the
oh yeah, Honeywell's having moving. A good day too.
Yeah.
So, anyways, you can look up stocks. I know Dollar Tree was a big winner during the recession year. Yeah, well, instead of Nordstrom's, we're going to Dollar Tree, all right, for Christmas. They do well in recessionary, slowing economy times. And, you know, when I wrote my book back in 2013, one of the hot stocks, I even had the CEO on the show, was First Cast Financial out of Texas, which runs a big chain of pawn shops in the U.S. and in Mexico, and that stock is coming to life again, FCFS. The CEO, you know, look, if you run a string of pawn shops, you're probably just a little on the sleazy side. He was pretty. Anyways, First Cash Holdings, FCFS, they operate 2,825 pawn stores. You know, when you're getting off of an off-ramp and there's the big yellow sign with black letters, "We make loans," or whatever. You know, and I used to like that show Pawn Stars. That was a good show. I learned a lot about history and stuff watching that. But look at that chart. Now, get this. It's been on the trading list. FCFS is up 9.44%. That's a straight up, this moonshot kind of chart right there. And, you know, there's a recession indicator. Forget your 3-month, 10-year. Watch Dollar Tree in the pawn shops and the auto parts stores. There's your better recession indicator. Okay, well, another show in the books. I'll be doing the show with Barry tomorrow. Then I'm headed down to Florida to help out with a little bit of hurricane. I guess there's still some mucking to do. And I'm pretty good at mucking, Barry. So I got a couple shovels, some boots, some gloves, you know, ready for action. Reporting for duty, sir. Where can you use me? All right. If you want to get the abbreviated newsletter, get on the trading list that I send out every morning. It's hot out of the oven. It's fresh. 855-611-BEST or GundersonCapital.com. Make an appointment with us to talk about your portfolio. 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.